What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. Today we're going to be doing an off-season preview, and I'm joined by a very special guest. It's my brother. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Gregory, thank you for having me back. My name is Jason Finberg, Gregory's role model of an older brother, and I'm a senior at Penn State right now. Unfortunately, I've been cursed as a Wizards fan for my entire life as well. So, Greg, I know your pain. I'd like to say, Greg, am I the first recurring guest on the show?
I think so. I don't know. I think Matt, I don't know if Matt's been on multiple times, but I'm pretty sure I don't have many guests on here, so you're
Well, I mean,
probably the
look,
first one.
sharing any company with Matt Modano, that is rare air to be in. So it is an honor to be back. Obviously, I had a terrible time watching the Wizards this year too, but we're turning the page on 2023, 2024, and I'm locked in on the lottery, Greg. So let's get into it.
Yeah, so in this episode, I'm gonna outline it. We're gonna talk some key dates. So I'm just gonna go through the off season date by date, give a brief explanation of what that date brings, what to expect from the Wizards on that day, what to be looking for, what's at stake, different stuff like that, key decisions the front office has to make in terms of contracts and stuff like that. And then Jason's gonna give his ideal off season. I'm gonna give a take on my ideal off season, and then we're gonna predict the roster for next year at the end. So without further ado, just to get into it, the first real key date coming up is May 12th, and that's the Wizards Super Bowl pretty much
Oh, yeah.
for the season. It's the NBA draft lottery on May 12th. I think it's at 8 p.m. The Wizards odds are as follows: for the first pick, 14%; for the second pick, 13.4%; for the third pick, 12.7%; for the fourth pick, 12%; fifth pick, 27.8%; and the sixth pick, 20%. So essentially, they have a better chance of getting the fifth pick than they do of getting a top three or four pick, which is, it might sound crazy and unfair, but that's the new lottery system that the NBA has put in place to combat tanking. Of course, the Wizards are in a draft that kind of sucks, so it doesn't really help. But basically, they draw from 1 to 14, I'm pretty sure. So they'll select the first pick. And then, if your name is called
You're
for the
talking
first
about the
pick,
actual lottery
the
drawing,
actuary
right? Because
drawing,
I know
yeah.
everyone was like, they announced it 14-1, you idiot.
No,
I got
they do it from 1 to 14. So, like, let's say the Spurs get the first pick, their numbers would be taken out of the second one. So, if they get called, it doesn't count.
Yes.
And so that improves your odds slightly for the second pick if you're the Wizards. And then it goes from there. So, if it gets to the fifth pick and the Wizards don't get five, they're the last, I think, the last team standing in that sixth draw. So they'll automatically get six. That's why they're guaranteed a top six spot. So basically, like I said, top six. Go ahead, Jay. What do you think? What do you think they're gonna do? I think they're gonna be a six, obviously, because that's always what happens, but
You know, I'm gonna try to stay positive, Greg. I'm gonna go number two. I think it's where they're
okay.
slotted in. I'm sure, like everyone else listening, I'm on Tankathon every day. If it were up to my predictions and projections, we're gonna get number two. I don't see a world where, you know, the Wizards get the first pick. We can't have nice things. We've proven that time and time again. And honestly, I'd be happier with two or three because in a draft like this, you know, with no clear-cut number one like a Wemby last year, or, you know, all the historical clear-cut number ones, but especially with Cooper Flagg coming out next year, I don't feel like this is a draft where one means that much. But I'm gonna go the Wizards get two, and I'm gonna save my draft pick for later. So.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind anywhere in the top three because I have three guys that I'd take at one,
Yeah.
Topic, Risse Hache, and Sarr. So I don't really care if I get one, two, or three. Either of those guys, I'm fine with. But once you start getting into Ron Hollins and Rob Dillinghams and Reed Sheppers, it gets a little tough. So if the Wizards fall outside the top three, that's where it's concerning. But it's a little better. Like last year, there was a clear-cut top four. And after Amen Thompson, maybe considering Ausar Thompson, it
Yes.
was a steep drop, so you really needed to get that top four or five. But for the Wizards this year, I don't think it matters as much, and that's a blessing as well as a negative because the draft class sucks, but it's also a pretty even draft class in terms of if you get the sixth pick, the guy you take at six could have gone two on some boards. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter as much, but I'm not going to be that pessimistic. I think they're going to get the fourth pick. You think they're going to get the second pick, but
Yeah.
I don't think this has as much talk obviously as the Wemby draft last year. So
yeah.
That's the 12th. And sorry, were you going to say something?
No. I mean, even as you mentioned last year with Wemby, you know, there was a clear cut number two even in Brandon Miller. And, you know, we went down from there. I agree with what you said, especially in a year like this, getting number one, and it would be great just to be, hey, we have the first pick. We can take whoever we want, but I'm confident that we're going to end up fine. But as you said, moving on to the combine.
Before that, I will say, I tweeted this out 2 days ago. Fun fact, the team that finished second worst in the league each of the last 3 years, which is the Spurs, the Magic, and the Pistons, all won the first overall pick. Now, it's the Wizards, so that's probably not going to happen again. But I'm just saying, if history repeats itself, the Wizards should get the first overall pick. So, like Jason mentioned, right after that is the Combine. And the Combine is from, I think, the 12th to the 19th. So I think it probably starts right before the lottery on that same day. It's in Chicago, like it is most years. The Wizards should have tons of scouts in attendance. They have three total picks. If you didn't see my tweet yesterday, the Wizards officially have the 52nd pick from the Bradley Beal trade in the second round. So they have a top six pick. They have the number 26 pick from the Clippers via the Gafford trade. And they had the 52nd pick from the Brad trade. Do you have any thoughts on the combine or what the scouts should be looking for that top six pick?
I think the NBA combine doesn't get enough national recognition, you know, the same way the NFL one does. You know, the NFL combine is a full-on television spectacle. I know the NBA combine is televised as well, but I feel like there's less weight put on what players are able to do at the combine. And I mean, look, not to be biased, but last year with Penn State and Seth Lundy, you know, this is a guy who was a good player going into his senior year, got some national attention when we had the tournament, and, you know, he had a nice couple run of games. And he went to the combine. He had 16 points on 4 of 7 3 over, you know, a 9-minute stretch. And that combine performance is what got him drafted. And, you know, now he's a 20-point scorer. You know, same with Andrew Funk, who's now in the NBA. Jalen Pickett, now in the NBA. Penn State, you know, had a plug. But I know we mentioned earlier, this draft might not have that clear-cut star, but that does not mean that there's not talent across the board. I think the second round is where, you know, the real basketball fans, is where it's going to get really interesting. And, you know, if we want to build the program right, get some winners, Tristan Newton, 2-time national champion, he'll be there in the second round. 2-time Final Four most outstanding player, he'll be there. And, I mean, look, Aso Igodoro, someone at Marquette, a big
Marquette,
guy, too. So, look, I think the second round is going to be littered with gems. And, you know, the first three guys you mentioned that you take at number one, none of them are even playing college basketball right now. So, I mean, look, I watch a lot of basketball, but I don't have time to stay up and watch, you know, Croatian Pro League. So, you know, there's some hidden gems in there, you know. Hopefully they're not Yannick and Zosas, but
please no.
I think the second round is going to be fun.
I think I could have watched zero basketball over that entire year and still known that Yannick and Zosa was not the pick. I'm just saying. But
oh,
like,
Greg,
what?
Let's not go down this rabbit hole. If we started talking about second round picks,
what are the traits that you're looking for? If you could give me like one or two things if you get the third pick, what are you looking for? If it's positional flexibility, if it's size, if it's 3-point shooting, what do you want out of that pick?
Me, I want defensive presence. And I know Bilal brings a lot of defensive, you know, versatility. He can guard 1 through 5 on his best nights. But I think something we've really lacked since, you know, Marcin is a center that you're scared to go into the paint against. Look, Gafford was awesome. You know what I mean? He did the cool things. He got the blocks. He got the dunks. But, you know, when we're talking about low post defense, that's not something that we've really been able to hang our hat on a lot. And Marcin wasn't, you know, a lockdown defender, but that was a big body. And I think Rashawn Holmes had a little bit of that, just the lack of skill. But I know a lot of people are interested in getting, you know, the lanky prototypical 6'8 wing now. But it just makes me think, and, you know, I think this question is more so for Winger and Dawkins, because if you take another wing, where does that slate belong? You know what I mean? I would love to take a Stephon Castle. I think he's going to be a great player. But is he not very similar to Ball? Maybe a little more polished offensively, but it's more so if you're picking that high like the Wizards are, I think you need someone, like I said, defensive presence and immediate impact. And I think a guy by the name of Donovan Clingan.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds a lot like you're literally just describing Donovan Clingan without saying his
I
name.
am describing Donovan Clingan.
Well, how high would you take him? Because a lot of people don't
Three.
think he should go top. Do you take him three?
Yes. I
See,
think what go ahead, go ahead.
I respect that because there's a lot of people that it's like you can't take your prototypical rim protecting big, especially if he can't shoot the three. You can't take him top three, but if you have a need like the Wizards do, a glaring need at center, and you can address it with a guy like Donovan Clingan's like a Walker Kessler, but a little bit better. He's going to be a really solid player for years and years. And a lot of people fear like when you get that high of a pick, I don't want to take a solid player. I want to take a star player. But sometimes the solid player and the most NBA ready player is the best pick. And I would I Klingon's three on I have him four right now on my board, but I do understand like the hype on Cody Williams at top five just because he's a lanky wing
I don't get
over a
exactly.
guy like Donovan Klingon, who is a bit less of a, I would say like his projection for his future isn't as big as Donovan Klingon's. It gets a little dicey.
And I'd say, like you mentioned, the in years past, the player development that the Wizards displayed, really the lack thereof of player development, that would scare you if we were to, if that old staff was still there and we did end up taking someone like Klingon. But I do think, especially with just the way our own players grew this year, I think I have the confidence and the trust now to say, all right, with this new staff, if we're going to give you someone who might be a little unpolished like Klingon, you're going to polish him up and turn him into a stud. So, I mean, look, you want to draft guys who come in right away. Like I said, immediate impact. I think Klingon can give you immediate impact and mature and grow throughout the year into a great player by the end of the season.
I agree. And I'll say this about the draft. I don't I've seen a lot of people saying we need to take a point guard at the beginning of the season before Poole matured into a point guard. And now I'm seeing a lot of people saying we need to take a center. I would love to take a center, and I just mentioned I think we have a glaring hole there, but apart from Bilal, I don't think you can guarantee that any of these guys that are currently on the team will be here in the next 3 to 4 years. So
Yes.
when you're rebuilding, you can't fill the holes on your rebuilding roster. Like you are the second worst team in the league. You have holes everywhere. You can't just say, "Oh, well, if we get a center here, then maybe we add a shooting guard in the next draft, then we're going to be great." You have every single need. You take the best player available. So that's why I don't really like seeing that discourse where we need a center or we need a point guard. We need the best player available. And if it's a center, then that's fine. But if it's not, I don't care. Like, look at the Cavs. They took Darius Garland right after they took Colin Sexton because he was clearly the best player there. And then they realized he was 10 times better than Colin Sexton and they moved on from Sexton. You got to take the best player available when you're rebuilding. So I'll say that. And then, like we were just, we kind of jumped the gun here, but the
Yes.
draft is the next big date after the combine. It's June 26th and 27th. This year, it's a 2 day event, which I kind of like. I feel like the second round, everyone's kind of tired with everything, and it's just a lot to compact into one night. So I kind of like that the second rounders are getting the same shine, and it's kind of a new day and a new thing. But the Wizards have that top six pick, and we went through the percentages of them getting it. They also have the 26th pick from the LA Clippers, and that's from the Daniel Gafford trade at the deadline. And then based on the coin flip yesterday, they have the 52nd pick. Via Phoenix is the first of the Bradley Beal trade picks to convey. And I don't know. I have to look into it. The Wizards don't have their second round pick, probably some dumbass Tommy Shepard trade, but that would have been 31 or 32, basically like another first round pick. So Tommy Shepard from the grave is still killing the Wizards. But what are your overall thoughts on, the front office said we need to get assets. We need to try to get as many picks, throw as many darts at the board as possible. What do you make of what they've been able to do getting three picks in this draft?
I think it's just pretty remarkable, like you said, that the efforts of Tommy Shepard were so poor that we're still feeling the effects, what, almost 2 full years since he's been removed from the position, right? So it's obviously impressive that Winger and Dawkins have been able to acquire three picks, and I mean, again, like I mentioned earlier with the player development, and I think that the player personnel departments, the scouting, I'm so much more confident now. You know, it used to just be like, you know, we have the Wizards have another second round pick. Okay. Who's he going to turn out to be at best? You know what I mean? So, especially with the emergence of Vukcevic at the end of the season, it gives me a lot of confidence going into it. And, you know, I actually question for you, Greg. You know, I know the Wizards are sitting at 26, and, you know, let's say we take best player available and it's Topic at three, or, and, you know, yeah, we take Topic at three. You know, who do you take at 26? And then, you know, the counter for that is let's say we go big with the first pick. What do you do with the second pick? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if we go with like a Topic and we take a guard, again, I'm taking best player available. I don't really see, okay, we took a guard, now we need a small forward, or now we need a
Okay.
center. If another guard is there, I'd take another guard, whoever's available. I mean, in terms of there, I like Jalen Tyson from Cal, shooting guard. I really like his ability to rebound the ball as well. Great on defense in terms of what you talked about. This front office has really made it, you know, a point. We need to get defenders, not just guys that are great offensively, but good on both sides. Guy like Ryan Dunn is pretty polarizing. Offensive game is very limited, but very good defender. Three blocks a game as a small forward in college
Nine
is
boards.
incredible. 9 boards per game. A guy like Tristan Da Silva really shined in the tournament from Colorado. Versatile 6'9" forward, can play him at the small forward or the power forward. There's a lot of guys in that range that I really like. I don't like Zach Edey. He's projected in that range. I'm gonna say that. I've seen a lot of people comment Zach Edey, please no. But there's so many people around that spot, and that's the beauty of a draft class that kind of is not good, according to a lot of people. The Wizards, you know, 26th ranked player could be 45 on some people's boards. Their 13th ranked player could be 30 on some people's boards. So it's very e like. They can get the guy they want and don't necessarily have to trade up or move assets to get them. And I kind of like that.
I see what you mean. And I mean,
Yeah.
look, someone else, I do not want Tyler Kolek. Oh my
No.
God, no. Oh. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong on this one, but
The
I do not think
Austin
I.
Reeves Tyler Kolek comparison
I
is
don't
one of
get
like
it.
the just like laziest comparisons. Like there are two like 6'4" guards that are good passers. They're white. Like they're white. They have the same hair. That's why they're comparing them. And if he gets drafted, everyone's gonna think, oh, he's the next Austin Reeves. I don't think he's gonna transition into the league. So after that, that's the draft, the 26th and the 27th. The 29th of June is the last day to waive Landry Shamet before his 2024-25 salary becomes fully guaranteed. So essentially, the Wizards, if they waive him, owe him nothing. I think he's slotted to make $11 million this year, in 2024-25, and then he's got another team option for the next year. However, if the Wizards waive him, they owe him nothing, and he walks into free agency, unrestricted free agency, and is free to sign anywhere he wants. However, if the Wizards don't waive him, they simply just like keep him on the roster, don't submit the paperwork to put him on waivers. He counts against the cap for 11 mil next year, and he's on the roster. And look, I don't mind Landry Shamet being on the roster, but I do mind that his roster spot would his he would be occupying a spot that I think should go to somebody younger, because Landry Shamet is not going to be here for the long haul. Giving him minutes right now doesn't help you at all. So I think this is an easy decision. Move him. I would have moved him at the deadline. Same thing with Tyus Jones. You get nothing for him, unfortunately, but don't compound that mistake by eating up more minutes that like you did this year. I'm curious, what do you think the decision should be?
Look, I agree with you. I mean, in what I saw of Shamet this year, he had some big dunks every once in a while, made you go, whoa. I know I said I was not familiar with his game multiple times. You know, he can really play, but he can really play as a bench player on a bad team. I don't know what that would mean if, you know, he went to a good team, what his role would really be. You know, if I'm Landry Shamet, I don't mind coming back. You know what I mean? $11 million to really do the same thing again. Hopefully he gets to play more. He could be a bench piece. But again, like you said, I don't see him being a part of the future plans. So I think he's going to walk, but I do appreciate his services in DC.
As do I. And then the other thing for this It's the deadline for Rashawn Holmes to exercise his player option. So essentially, I think he's slotted for around $12 million. There's no there. I would bet everything that I have Rashawn Holmes picks this up. This is probably the last time he's going to be able to make that much money in the league. $12 million is crazy, and I would like for Rashawn Holmes in the open market. I don't think he could get more than like 5 to 6 per year as a backup center. He's making
that minimum, honestly.
He's making double that. It's the easiest decision ever. He's going to accept it, and I don't mind that. Rashawn Holmes played like 12 to 15 games for the Wizards, and he was easily one of the most entertaining players. Gave everything he had. He reminded me of Trez during the 2021-22 season. Just gave everything
he
had.
That physical presence.
Great energy, exactly, a physical presence. So he's going to be back, and I don't mind that, but I would mind a little bit if Shamet is back. So that's June 29th, and then a day later, June 30th is like that soft free agency opening where teams can begin negotiating with free agents that aren't currently on their team. So this isn't like extension talks or anything. This is, I can talk to LeBron James if he's a free agent if I want. I can't sign him, but we can begin negotiating. And I'm sure these guys probably talk to other people way before this, but it just, they don't talk, like they don't report that they're tampering. I mean, you saw the Knicks with Brunson and all that stuff. And then July 6th is when free agency actually begins. So basically, I doubt the Wizards are going to do anything. I hope they don't. I think the roster should be worse this year or this upcoming season than it was this past season, because you're actually tanking for somebody instead of the first year of a rebuild's a little weird because you still have the veterans you brought back in those blockbuster trades. And if you don't move them, or at least you have for 40 games, you're not going to be that bad. But the next season, when you're really young and all of those guys are moving on, the expiring deals are gone, you're even worse. So signing a guy like Taj Gibson, when we signed him in the offseason last year, it was just like, what the fuck are we doing? Taj Gibson makes no sense. I'm not giving minutes to a 38-year-old when I have young centers and power forwards that should play over him. So
yeah.
You go ahead. I don't think they should sign anyone, but
no, I agree with you. And I think the biggest problem the Wizards will run into in free agency is, yes, there will be veterans there and there will be dynamic veterans there, but why is he going to want to come to Washington?
Money.
If you're, you know, free agency really now is used for teams to take that next step, especially good teams, you know what I mean? But let's say you're a 24-year-old looking for his big payday, and that's the other point. I don't think the Wizards are going to be spenders by any means. Why? So in terms of the veterans you are going to bring in, I think they are going to be Taj Gibsons and, you know, Montrezl Harrells. It's not going to be anyone that anyone else is coveting. Obviously, I trust the player personnel department to assess, you know, what they think we could bring in. But I'd be blown away if you see, you know, Mikal Bridges signs with the – we're not shelling out money. That so yeah again.
we have money, like we probably have the most cap space out of most teams. I think maybe second to like Detroit, but we have unlimited cap space. I mean, Poole is making 30, Kuz is making like 24.
I think it's also, you know, like you just said, you know, we don't really even, we got what, 25 games 20 games of point guard, you know, Jordan Poole, and you know, Denny really asserting himself. I don't know what really fits with that yet. You know what I mean? I feel like they need more time. So I really just bringing in anyone that's going to eat into those minutes in free agency, I don't understand. So, yeah.
Exactly. And it's important to note, this is also, I think, the first day that sign-in trades can be made official. So I'm not saying anybody's name. You might have said it. But, yes, Tyus Jones can be signed in trade at this time. I think Neil DeLaw said, like, something. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But somebody said something about a possible sign-in trade with Tyus this offseason, and it made a lot of sense. I mean, if you're not going to move him at the deadline and you decide not to sign and trade him, it looks terrible. But if you are able to sign and trade him in the offseason, it looks slightly better. But yeah, you can sign and trade on July 6th when free agency begins as well. And the Wizards have their own.
Another way that, you know, we're eating up cap too, because, you know, at the end of the day, we still got to spend that money. So.
Yeah, you have, there's like a minimum salary. I think it's like 120 or something. So like you still have to get there, but you also have to figure. Tyus is a free agent. Shamet is like could be a free agent if we waive him, and then Big Anthony Gill is also a free agent. So you got to decide if you want that locker room presence and that veteran back, which I wouldn't mind, but you have cap space to do it. I'd rather bring it back Anthony Gill, the guy that everyone seems to like, than another random veteran on a $3 million deal. Like, if you're going to spend that money on a veteran, it's use it on Anthony Gill, not on some random. So I will say that. And then July 22nd to the July 12th to the 22nd is Summer League. So they go to Vegas and they play for 10 days. You saw Bilal play last year. The big storylines for this season, Bilal is questionable to play in Summer League. He broke the wrist, right wrist, I believe, in Chicago with about 20 games left. Missed the rest of the season. So he should be, I'm not a doctor, but he should be fully back by Summer League. So health shouldn't be the concern. It's the Olympic play. He's trying out for the French national team. I think there's 15 spots on their Olympic roster. They're really good though, and Bilal is 19. He's not one of the top players. So I don't know if he's gonna get that invite. And if he does, he said he'd play for France, which I understand. But if not, he will play for the Wizards in Summer League. And then you gotta also think Vucevic is gonna play. So are all three of the Wizards draft picks if they use all of them on players and the undrafted free agents, guys probably like Jules Bernard and other guys with the go-go. But what are you most looking forward to at Summer League?
Well, I just wanted to state, as of now, you, myself, our dad, in the works of hopefully attending some summer league in
Yeah, that'd
person,
be pretty cool.
which would
That'd be
be
cool.
awesome. But look, I think Bilal definitely he had a great summer league, not a great summer, he had a good summer league last year, but I think summer league means more to someone, like you and me, Greg, who honestly struggle watching our team during the regular season because we are already so bad. We have so much adversity that we're dealing with. The summer league's honestly just like some fun basketball. You get to see what we got. And last year was fun with two young guys, Bilal, Vuk. I know Johnny was there. Is he even allowed to go back this year, Johnny? Are they gonna
I
let him
don't know
back?
actually what like the requirement is of like the maximum time he deserves. Like he should be there. He's not like graduated from that level of basketball
Oh,
yet, so he should
no.
play.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited, obviously, because look, we're gonna have Bilal, maybe Vucevic, and three picks. And we still got good go-go guys, So like, can a Jules Bernard play? That's my question. Cause or Jared Butler, it's not someone with he has NBA service, but I don't know what the timeline is. Cause there's old guys who play in Summer League too all the time, guys who played
I'm
back in
pretty
the
sure
league.
anybody can play in Summer League. It's just a matter of if you want to use a roster spot on a young guy or a veteran, I
Shout out
think.
Jared Butler, by the way, man. Love watching
Dog.
him play at the end of the year.
So that Summer League, the 22nd, that's the last significant date for that summer. Then you move into October. Training camp begins on the 1st, couple weeks of practice. The regular season begins on the 22nd. I want to let you know the Wizards will not be playing on the 22nd. They might not even let them play on the 23rd, because the 22nd is the two game opening night on TNT, and then the 23rd is when most teams open. It's when the Wizards usually open, but I don't even know if they do that. They might be the third time on the 24th. I can guarantee you they're not going to have a national TV game. I wouldn't put them on national TV. If the Magic have one national TV game and they're the fifth seed, the Wizards will have zero again,
You could
and
have
that's
negative
fine. I don't.
national TV games. I
Yeah.
think Wizards could do that. Although I
I
count
don't.
NBA TV as national TV, despite what everyone says. You
I
got a few
don't.
small wins in there.
You have to pay for NBA TV. It's not. It doesn't come with cable. So basically, that's a rundown of the offseason. There's a couple key decisions that Winger and Dawkins have to make before we start that season on the 23rd. And the first one is about Tyus Jones. We briefly touched on it. Jason, are you re-signing Tyus Jones? Are you sign and trading Tyus Jones? Are you just letting him walk? What are you doing?
I think that it's Tyus who has a lot of control in the situation, actually, because he obviously he could walk. It's not a player option, right? Am I wrong? Is it a player
No,
option?
he's
He's an unrestricted
unrestricted.
free agent.
We don't even have bird rights, I don't
Yeah,
think.
I think there's going to be playoff teams right now. I mean, look, Kyle Lowry has done a good role with the Sixers, but I think Tyus Jones would be a big upgrade over someone like him. I think really the what it's going to come down to is Tyus meeting with Michael and Will and them gauging his interest in wanting to return. Because if he does want to return, how could you start him after Poole
You
ended
can't.
the year? And look, Tyus is reliable. He's honestly he might be one of the most reliable players in the last couple of years in terms of actual, floor time, being a floor general, the assist to turnover ratio that everyone talks about. But you need to say to Tyus, would you like to come back in a bench role on a bad team? You know what I mean? Would you rather be a bench player for a bad team and not win, or a bench player on a good team and maybe win? It's really not that difficult of a question. So I would like Tyus to come back in terms of, again, locker room guy, good for the culture, but I don't really see him returning. The only contract I think he's going to be signing is one that sends him off to another team. So we'll see.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from in terms of he has to decide the ball is in his court. Obviously, he'll have a lot of suitors. He was one of the better, more consistent point guards this season. I think he played like 65 of 66 games before he sat out for pretty much the last couple games of the season. Led the league again in assist to turnover ratio. Like, he's a really solid point guard, and the Wizards having him back would benefit from it in terms of probably a little bit more winning. But what it always comes back to is fit and timeline and timing.
Timeline,
And the
yes.
timing doesn't align because Tyus is entering his prime right now, and the Wizards are going to rock bottom. And those don't really go together that well. So letting him walk, sign and trade is obviously the most ideal thing for the Wizards. And honestly, for both parties, I feel like if a contending team, Tyus is going to want 14 to 15, I would assume, per year, especially even if he's a backup. A contending team doesn't just have that readily available in terms of cap
Yes.
space. They have bloated salaries that they want to trade. Like, look at a team, maybe Charlotte is sitting there like, we want to go for it now, and we have LaMelo, but we haven't found that backup. What if we just bring in Tyus Jones, $14 million, and we have Davis Bertans at $16 million, and we'll shove him back to Washington? And I'm not saying that has to specifically happen with those
I
two teams,
understand what
but
you're saying.
the sign and trade, like the KP trade, he would have gone to Boston probably regardless, but the reason it had to be a sign and trade, they had to beat that deadline, is because they didn't have the cap space. They had to move Marcus Smart or some other players in order to make that work. So the Wizards working with other teams and getting a pick maybe in return for taking on a bad salary, that's what you want from a sign and trade. I don't think that'll come to fruition. I think he's just gonna walk, but it is interesting to hear your thoughts about how he kind of has ownership of his future,
I
which
mean,
obviously he does.
look, bottom line with Tyus is, in my opinion, he has winning characteristics to him. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
if he goes to a good team, I think he will adapt right away and fit in seamlessly. And I love to have it. If you watch the games at the end of the year, like we did, really not at the end of the year, Tyus's end of the year, this guy's putting up 9 assists a game, 14 assists a game. Like, it's nothing. Who
No
doesn't want
turnovers
someone?
either.
Yeah, who doesn't want someone like that on your team? If you were to show me someone who's averaging 13 assists over their last eight, yeah, I want them. But you can't have everything. I love Tyus during his 1 year. He had his ups. He definitely had his downs. We haven't even talked about his defense or lack thereof. But I think it's time for a mutual separation.
I agree. And you can't really talk about his defense because apart from Belon, maybe Denny and Gafford, everyone's defense sucks. So you can't really single him. It's unfair to single Tyus out for his defense when everyone around him is also equally bad, pretty much. But I do think so you're gonna say Tyus walks.
I
Yeah.
am. I am. I am.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a sign and trade would be great, but I think it just makes sense for him to go to a contender, and kind of move on from the Wizards. I think it makes sense for the Wizards at the same time to move on from him. So that's the first. We have six key decisions that they got to make. That's the first one. The next one is probably the biggest decision, and that's Kyle Kuzma's future in Washington. Do the Wizards hold on to Kuz? With trade interests across the league. I mean, you saw Dallas gave the Wizards an offer for Tyus Jones, or not for Tyus Jones, for Kyle Kuzma at the deadline. And the Wizards came to Kuz and said, "Do you want to do this or not?" And he said, "No, I want to be in D.C." And that could also be, "I don't like the fit in Dallas. I don't like the players in Dallas.
Yes.
I don't think it's a good move for me personally." And that could be the case, but it could also be he really wants to win in DC. So he's already obviously been shipped around and he has interest across the league. A team like Sacramento had a trade in place for him a while ago and didn't happen. Eventually got flipped to DC and for Westbrook. They're a team that missed the playoffs this season after getting the second seed last year. They kind of got to make a move. They didn't go for Siakam. They didn't go for LaVine. They have to do something because their roster is not good enough yet. And a guy like Kyle Kuzma fits a need at the forward. Give me back Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, 2 first-round picks. That's something that could work.
Wow. Also, what? That is a lot. That was a lot.
What?
Harrison Barnes?
Davion Harrison Mitchell. Barnes is washed, and he's
I understand that for salary purposes. But
Davion
like,
Mitchell was like out of the rotation pretty much when they cut it down to 8 for the playing games, and I mean, a desperate team like that, you have picks to give. What are you giving your picks for? You're just gonna keep them and just keep stockpiling guys that probably won't play too many minutes at the back end of the lottery.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned that. I think that word desperation is so great because you know. In years past, you know, the Kings, I think the Kings are the great example because they're right there, you know, not in terms of competing for a championship, but even entering their names in that conversation. And I think they now are in a position like someone like Atlanta was when they went and got Deontay Murray, like, hey, let's do this thing. All right. And I think Kyle Kuzma could be that. I mean, I really think you really think we could get a return? Like that's the expected return in your opinion for someone like Kuzma? A guy like Mitchell, a younger guy, a salary eater, an older guy like Barnes and 2 firsts. Is that what you think? Or is that your minimum?
Desperation. You literally said it for me. It's desperation. The Kings need to do something. The Wizards don't need to do anything right now. Give me 2 second-round picks or 2 first-round picks or I'm not doing the deal. And I think that's the same thing that they did with Toronto for Siakam. They didn't want to give up the picks. It's probably the same thing they did with Chicago for LaVine. They didn't want to give up the picks. They were in on Brad too. It's just they don't want to make that move. And eventually they have to. And I'm not saying Kuzma is going to make them win the title.
Yeah.
But I think they have to do something. And even 1 first-round pick could move the needle depending on the Wizards and Kuzma and their level of interest. And then another team I'm looking at is Houston.
Yeah.
Houston has a lottery pick, not their own, but they have Brooklyn's, which if it stays the same is going to be 9. They don't need that pick. They have so many young players. They need to win now. They need veterans to go with those young players. And yeah, those young players are going to develop and get better. But what's that 9th pick doing for you? Not much. They have guys.
He's going to the G, and he's staying in the G. Like I'm looking on Tankathon right now, and you know they have Cody Williams mock there. That's like perfect to what you're saying right now. What is Cody Williams going to do on this Houston Rockets team? Sit on the bench.
Yeah, so I mean, there's guys like Jacques Landale. I don't know why they're paying him like $10 million a year, but they have bloated salaries that they could trade. I think they still have Jeff Green under contract. They could trade a bunch of guys if they think Kuz is that fit in Houston to make things work there. There's a lot of contenders for Kuz, and I don't know if he should be traded. I would say 41 games of the year I enjoy watching Kyle Kuzma play basketball. The other 41, I want to rip my hair out when he pulls up for 3 with the Wizards down by 13 and he's already missed his last 4. It's a very polarizing player. I like Kyle Kuzma, the person. I've been very, very vocally critical of him on this podcast to where I don't necessarily think in his current role that he's a winning player. I think as that 3rd or 4th spot, like you saw in LA, he's a winning player. He takes the shots. He lets the game come to him. He plays good defense. But when he has this much of a assignment as the number 1 option and everything's catered towards him, from what I've seen, he struggles in that role. And it's only a year. It's a small sample size. But you don't want to build your team around Kyle Kuzma thinking he's going to be the number 1 option. But a team like Sacramento and Houston could use him as that 3rd or 4th team, and that could propel them to success. So go ahead.
I agree too. And I mean, I'm glad you mentioned really Kyle, the person. He's just been so fun to follow and so fun to watch. And, you know, I love the way he's able to engage with the fans on social media. I know some people are like, go focus on basketball. Shut up. You know what I mean? This guy has every right to go on Twitter and say whatever he wants to. And I mean, look, just he's been able to lay down in terms of charitable contributions in the community. I know he just opened up a new coffee shop. I don't remember the name, but I'll definitely hit it when we're down there. A new restaurant. I just think this he's a good guy, and I don't think enough people remember that. Look, I've been critical of him too. I know you have, and sometimes you're like, dude, what are we doing? But at the end of the day, I think he the way he was able to step into, the leader of this team this year, I think that's pretty undisputable. It was really impressive. And just the way he was mentoring Bilal and even mentoring Denny and the friendship that they have and the way he was able, look at first him and Poole not working well and people, oh, they don't like each other yet. Just being able to handle all of that, actually finish the season the way he did. I know he was injured, but look, if he comes back, he comes back. I don't think he stays for long, unfortunately, just because I know we've said it so many times now, but the timeline, the timeline, the timeline. It's, how long is he going to be here? And, when you get to your hopeful pinnacle, is he your star or is he your three? And, a lot of people argue, is he your third best option on a good team? Is he your third best? Is he your first best option on his bad team? So, look, I know we've discussed on our own how movable the contract is, which is so great, but I don't know. I'd love to see him stay selfishly, but I wouldn't mind if he went. I love you, Kyle, though. I'm sorry.
So that's the second key decision. The third one I'm not going to do too much about just
We
because
really talked about it.
we talked about the draft
Who are
and
you taking? One, two, and three. You have one, two, and three. Who are you taking?
yeah, I mean if I get the first pick and this is like I said this is I don't know if it's controversial, but I'm taking Sar over Risache. I don't know why everyone thinks
Very
this
good
guy.
pronunciation, Greg.
Thank you.
Risache.
I've been practicing.
Wee wee.
The fact that he's very lanky wing and that's like what people in the NBA want now, that's kind of why he's there. But if you look at his like per 36 stats and his shooting numbers and all that, it's not that good. And his
No.
competition is way, way worse than it's going to be in the league. And he's only 18, so he's going to take some time. But I think a guy like Sar, he has it. Like when I don't like to take guys that are I really don't know if they're going to be great or not. But they could be Giannis, but they could also be Anthony Bennett. I want to take a guy like Alex Sarr that I know is going to be solid, and he has the potential to be like AD level defensively
Oh, he can shoot it too.
with a decent offensive game to go with it. He's got the size and the frame already to go at it now, and that's kind of what I'm looking at. So if I get one, I'm taking him over anybody else, and I'm not even taking Risache too. I'm taking Topic at two.
Yeah.
If you look at like he had a game, his first game back yesterday, he had 8 points and two assists. That looks like nothing, but the reads he was making out of the pick and roll, his teammates just weren't making shots. He's a very high IQ, great vision, sees the floor well as a point guard, and can hold his own defensively. He's got the size as well. He's got everything you want in a point guard. I would take him. I'm close to taking him at one, but I would take him two, and then I would take Risache at three. What would you do?
I'd agree. Honestly, I'd go Sar at one. I'd go Topic at two, and but I would go Klingon
Klingon,
at
yeah.
three. Just in terms of someone who could come in and contribute. But after that, hopefully, we don't have to discuss what four and five. I do like Stephon Castle a lot. I know I've
I do
been
as
really
well.
all over these UConn guys, but again, I think the Wizards need winners. I heard someone tell me once, one of my old coaches said, I never draft a player from Alabama because they don't know how to lose. Well, let me tell you something. They know how to fucking win. All right.
Yeah.
So, any guy who's won a national championship, someone I want on my team. And, another thing I did want to ask you, though, Greg, if the Wizards were able to, let's say, package 26 and 51, 52, where do you think they could move up to? Like, what's the ceiling and who are you taking?
I mean, I think they can move up to maybe like 19.
No,
It's
so
not,
no lottery.
no, I,
I agree.
no lottery team's going to take a second round pick at the very end and a 26 pick in what's considered a terrible draft class to move back. If you give them like a two more seconds or like one of the pick swaps or something like that,
Yeah.
but you can move up a couple slots and if you really like a guy, but I wouldn't even do that because like I said, I think some guy that could be 19 on the Wizards board could be 26 to 30 on a lot of other teams' boards. And that's the beauty of a draft class that's so random and polarizing. You have your guys and you should be able to get them wherever you go. So I'm not inclined to move up in this draft. I'd rather reserve my assets for future draft classes instead of reaching on somebody in this class because it's not like we're reaching to win now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't personally do that. So that's the draft stuff. We already hit on a lot. The fourth big move we already also mentioned. So I'll go through this quickly. How to attack free agency.
I can touch on it at the end too.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you got it. You got it. I'll just mention it after.
I mean, you could sign cheap veterans. You could sign no one. You could let the roster grow on its own and not bring any veterans. Keep minutes open for your own guys. There's a lot of basically two routes that you can go. You can sign the veterans and eat up minutes from your young guys, but compete, or you can be terrible, but let your young guys play as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't agree more. I think in terms of the free agency front, I think it's going to be a quiet offseason for the Wizards. And again, I'm really in favor of keeping minutes open. And I think we really just saw the beginning of what Bilal can be. We saw the beginning of Vucevic, Denny, even someone like Corey. So I want to see what these guys can do in expanded minutes, but consistent and expanded minutes.
Yeah, and then the
Not
fifth move.
Johnny, unfortunately. I love Johnny, but
Yeah.
I don't know. You think he'll be back?
Yes. I don't know why people are always like, why is will Johnny Davis be back? They should waive him. They're not, no, they just keep him on the roster spot. Hope. Just hope he can be
One
good
day.
one day. And then possibly the biggest move of the offseason here.
Yes.
Do you re-sign Anthony Gill,
Can I
Jason?
go first, please? Please.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand on my soapbox here for a minute. 1 million, billion, gillionzillion percent. I think that obviously, like we mentioned, the Wizards aren't getting anyone crazy in free agency. If you're able to bring someone back with like Anthony Gill, who has familiarity with what you're trying to implement now, not only on the court, but off the court. He's just a good dude. I've never even met the guy, and he's just a good dude. Greg, I went to two Wizards games this year. Me and our dad were sitting all the way up top for one game against Orlando. Anthony Gill was out 45 minutes before tip-off, signing autographs. Halftime, walking into the tunnel, I saw him signing autographs. After the game, I saw him signing autographs. And these weren't just, like a, sign my name and move on to the next one. He genuinely, like Terry McLaurin did the same thing when I met him. How are you doing? It's great to see you. Thank you for coming. And I think that's someone that the Wizards need, almost an ambassador. It might not be with his on the court play, but I think Anthony Gill is just a guy that you want in your locker room. And look, at the end of the season, he put up some numbers. Obviously they're pretty empty stats, but that's a guy who I've have not heard one bad thing about. They mentioned on the broadcast, first guy there is the last one to leave. So, look, if it's up to me, Anthony Gill's got to be a Wizard next year. But I will say this, I think this is someone who's an overseas candidate. He was last year going into the season. I really just hope he does whatever is best for him and his family at this point. So, thank you, Anthony Gill. I grew up a Virginia Tech guy, and so I did not like him during his college career, but thank you, Anthony. Appreciate you.
The ambassador point's a pretty good one. I mean, I saw when I went to we were at the same game, obviously. He was, but when he went out for his individual warm-ups, he walked all the way down the court and like shook hands with everyone courtside and just had a conversation with them. And
Like a
like the
politician.
yeah, those are like the coolest things, just like with the NBA players just being real people and regular dudes. And
He's
he's
a
just
good
kind of like a
guy,
regular
man.
guy that the fans can relate to. So I would re-sign him, like Jason said. And then the last thing is, we already touched on it as well. Do you waive Landry Shamet?
See ya.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone. I no point in bringing him back. I'd love to sign and trade him, but I don't know if that's in the cards. So we just talked for about 50 minutes each date, what we would do, what the big decisions are. What are some of the big things you're looking for if you had like an ideal offseason? Just go
Greg,
through it real quick.
thank you for asking me this. I'd actually like to start off the court, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Look, I've been a Wizards fan my entire life. There is nothing that brings me more joy as a Wizards fan. I don't know if you know what I'm going to say, but the old gold Wizards jerseys. I know you guys can't see me right now, but I'm wearing the 2022, 20, right? 23 throwback, which was the old Wizards logo with the blue and
I
white.
think I got you that shirt.
It was my birthday present, so thank you.
Yeah.
Greg's a great gift giver, by the way, if you guys didn't know that. But I want to start off the court. We need new jerseys. I like the red, white, and blue branding and everything, but I want to go back to the gold. Look, the Wizards could wear white t-shirts and black shorts next year, as long as it's not whatever the city editions were this year. The Stones were a two thumbs down
Shout out Stephen Powers, by the way.
I appreciate the effort. Look, the historical meeting was very cool. And, you know, as someone who is interested in that, I did appreciate that aspect. But come on, guys, that's not the Wiz. You know, that's why I want to go back to the gold. I think it'll reinvigorate, you know, a fan group. Honestly, like my age, you know what I mean? Everyone I meet now, when they say they're from the DMV, you know, they're like, you know, I was a Wizards fan. Let's emphasize was past tense. You know, I watched when they had Wall and Beal and, you know, Gilbert Arenas. You know, I barely even remember Gil. But I think that going back to the gold jerseys would be a great start. And besides that, I think that an ideal offseason for the Wizards is a quiet one. There's not a lot that can be done in terms of bringing in, like I mentioned before, dynamic veterans and free agency, even dynamic young guys. You're not going to be able to do that. Maybe we get a cool go-go signing here and there, like a Hami Diallo type. But like, besides that, I'm looking forward to Bilal getting some run. I really hope he's able to get the opportunity to play with the French team. Not just because, you know, it's the Olympics. I don't even think he'll play that much. But, you know, he's going to be playing with guys like Gobert, Wemby, Nick Batum, who I shout out Nick Batum. He's earning his money right now. But I think that would be a great opportunity for him. I want Vucevic to lead the Summer League team. I don't want him to just play. You know, I think he has so much untapped potential as a playmaker that I'd love to see how he's able to operate. You know, let's say teams start doubling him like they double Embiid. You know, I think he'll be able to pass out of that so beautifully. And my opening five next year is JP, Corey, Denny, Bilal, and a big TBD at the five. So I think Kuz might get moved, but if not, obviously you'd insert Kuz over, you know, I guess Corey, everyone would move up. Bilal could be your, Denny could be your two, but I don't know. I feel like just Kuz being there kind of creates a backlog with the current talent that you have. But look, going into next season, I do think it's safe to say it might be worse, or it will be worse. So I'm prepared to lose some more, but my faith will not waver, my friend. We are strapped in for the long haul, but I'd love to see what you have to say.
I mean, I got a pretty similar thing. The quiet offseason that you described, I like that. Like I'd rather not weed out a lot of stuff this offseason. I kind of just want to do the draft and then do summer league and then not sign anybody. Hopefully maybe trade Tyus Jones, and then that's kind of it. And you go into next season with pretty much a similar roster, minus some of the bloated veterans that you didn't want. And you just run it back with a similar group. Hopefully you suck even more. And then you put yourself in a position to, once you maybe hopefully get Cooper Flagg or Boozer or someone like that, then you're really going for it. And then you start to build. So a quiet offseason is kind of, like you said, what I want. My roster projection is pretty similar. I mean, I have Kuz on mine. That's a little bit of a difference between us. I have Poole, point guards. I got Poole and Butler at the shooting guard, Kispert, Davis, small forward, Avdija Kulibaly, power forward, Kuzma, Omarui, Baldwin Jr. And then at center, I got Holmes, Bagley, and Vucevic. There's still, I think you can have up to 20 guys for training camp, but 15 guys on the opening night roster. So that still leaves spots for the three draft picks that we have. Give or take, if you have to waive somebody, Omer Rui would be the first guy I would waive. A lot of people don't like that he has a roster spot. They don't think he's an NBA player, but he plays hard. You can't really deny
that.
Yeah,
you can't knock the hustle.
Yeah,
there.
So basically for me, we would hope, this is my ideal offseason. You'd sign and trade Tyus, hopefully bring back, you know, obviously a bloated contract that's expiring and maybe a couple of draft picks or young players. You waive Shamit before June 29th, let him walk. Don't eat that salary. Re-sign Anthony Gill on a 2-year vet minimum. That opens up three roster spots for the three draft picks. And then you got five open roster spots for training camp or undrafted free agents, go-go guys like Diallo, Bernard that you want to bring back, veterans that you want to bring in for training camp. If you want to sign fucking Taj Gibson $3 million just to come for 10 days of training camp and then fuck off, that's fine as well. But I'm
you know,
sticking
with the one thing that, you know, if I almost, you know, a closing statement for, you know, Wizards Nation is that, you know, like you just said, Greg, you know, you don't expect to tweet a lot. Don't really expect, you know, Greg to tweet a lot, any Wizards personality to tweet a lot, because I really don't think there's going to be that much happening. And, you know, my message to Wizards fans is, you know, just be patient. You know, I'm very confident that we are doing this the right way, and it takes time. I mean, you know, look at the Minnesotas, look at the OKCs. You know, they were able to draft a stud of their own. And then, you know, OKC drafted studs, traded for studs. Same with Minnesota right now. So You know, I think there's a clear blueprint to what we're doing. A plan is in place. And, you know, if only, you know, Rome was built in a day, but it was not. So we shall see.
Jason's saying that I probably won't tweet as much this offseason is nice because he knows firsthand with the Bradley Beal and KP trades. I mean, I had a job last summer and I wouldn't really be able to be on my phone for most of the job. So that was like one of the most stressful like periods of my life when we were going to trade Brad and KP any day. And I had to make sure I had the tweets and coverage ready for you guys. But I also knew that if they didn't trade them within the next 2 days, I wouldn't really be able to cover it. So that was a lot of stress. Hopefully this offseason there won't be any stress like that. The Wizards don't really have big names like that to trade, and I don't think they're going to make any big moves. So like Jay said, the offseason should be pretty quiet. He gave his ideal roster. It's pretty much the same as mine. He's moving on from Kuz, which obviously we talked about could see from Sacramento or Houston, but that's going to do it. You mentioned your closing statements. Do you have anything else that you want to part with?
Thank you guys for listening. I really hope you guys understand how much work Greg puts into this.
Stop.
Every day. I will not stop. I will not. But seriously, I hope you guys understand how hard he works at it. I know you guys appreciate it, but he appreciates you guys too. So do I. So thanks for supporting, and it's only up from here, my brother.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Jason should be on, obviously, a couple more times this summer.
Should be on, will be on.
Yeah, I'll have a couple other guests on. I got, for next week's episode, I think, Ben Pfeiffer, draft guru. Ooh. I think it's time that we kind of move on from the season and get into the draft coverage. So I'm going to have Ben on, who's really plugged in. I'll hopefully have Matt on as well, Matt Moderno, also big into the draft. As we transition into a season, into draft coverage, the combine, the lottery, and all that type of stuff. But that's going to do it. Thanks again, Jason, for coming on. Can they follow you on Twitter? Which Twitter?
You can. I am looking to be a graduate assistant for a basketball program next year. So if anyone knows, you can follow me at Finberg Jason. I am my logo is, or my profile picture is the Penn State logo.
Yeah, so up and coming. Very smart basketball mind.
Next up.
Yeah, so if anyone's hiring GAs, let them know. But
shout out to Lady Lions too, Penn State Lady Lions, great run of WBIT. Shout out women's basketball. All right, Greg, I'm done.
All right, thanks again, Jay. That's gonna do it for this episode. Appreciate y'all for listening. Go Wiz.
Hi, Dad. See you guys.